If you're visiting today, it's great to have you with us. Can see a few new faces, which is lovely. God has a great plan for your life, and I trust that this morning you'll hear God personally, as I trust each and every one of us here will hear. And the way to hear is really through listening to God's word and hearing God's word. I think those of you who have been a Christian for a while, if I was to ask you, what is God's vision for our world? What is God's vision for our world today? Most of you would probably come up with his vision is that they would get to, the whole world would get to know him and be completely changed to be like Jesus. That the whole world will get to know Jesus and become changed by his ability and power. So if you could say this morning, our God has a huge vision, it's true. It's massive. It includes everybody who's alive today. There isn't anybody who's not alive on this earth today that vision, God doesn't have that plan for them. And the answer is Jesus, getting to know him and getting to know his plans and being changed by him personally. But if we look at the method about how God is going to fulfill this awesome, massive vision, we need only to go to the Bible, in fact, the New Testament, and see that Jesus came as the Son of God, he became man, and what we read in the Bible is actually the method that Jesus wants us to all know about today, about how to change the world, how God's going to change the world. And the method that Jesus laid down for every generation, actually, it's not just a modern day method, it's actually a method for every age, every time, and every season. So it must include us here today. That Jesus has only one way of changing the world. And we read about it in Scripture. So it's not made up by a particular church or a denomination. It's written in what we believe is the Word of God, the Bible. So we're going to read Matthew, and I think it's on the screen this morning. We're going to read what Jesus said to a few people. In fact, he called everybody to follow him, actually, but he chose 12. And we call, Jesus called them disciples. He chose 12. And he said to these 12 ordinary people, weren't particularly kind of brilliant at the religion of the day, the Jewish religion. They weren't teachers in the synagogue. They weren't really, they hadn't been to Bible school. You could say they obviously went and worshipped God, but they didn't know God personally because you can't without Jesus. And they didn't have that kind of one-on-one relationship with God. And Jesus picked these 12 people, these 12 men, and said to them, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, when we read the Gospels, we read about how Jesus went about doing good, healing everyone who came to him. There wasn't one person. What an amazing God Jesus is. Not one person left him not well. Everybody who was hungry when they were on that mountain listening to his teaching for 3 days got fed with leftovers out of a very small amount of food, one person's lunch. Jesus set people free from demonic, satanic oppression. He set people free from whatever their addictions were. He showed that he was merciful to those who had so badly sinned, which actually, if you know anything about the Lord, we all have. But the adulterers, those who broke up marriages and relationships, Jesus actually offered mercy, which means he didn't treat them as they deserved. In that culture, they should have been stoned to death. Jesus said, I don't condemn you, but go and sin no more. Stop living that way of sin. And so we see crowds loved Jesus. I mean, I would, if he would feed me, and I could just show up at all his teaching sessions, and I'd see miracles, and on my plate would come a 5-course meal. And I love it to see these sensational miracles, which I have done, praise God, and we do. And I love it when I go to big meetings where there are thousands upon thousands of Christians, multitudes gathering to be around Jesus, to be with Jesus, places like Faith Camp. I really just love seeing such a massive crowd of Christians. And this world is full of millions and millions of Christians. But that wasn't the method. Jesus' method included all of that. It included prayer and worship. But Jesus' method to actually reach the world and change the whole world was with a small group of dedicated followers. And that method is an everlasting method until Jesus returns. It's never going to change. God never changes the method. He never changes the way he wants to change the world. And he calls people, ordinary people like you and me, to come on and follow me. And he says, I am gonna make you. And I've underlined that on the screen. If you look, I'm gonna make you fishers of men. I'm gonna make you people who will be able to make other people just like I make you. And so, sometimes we get a little bit fleeced as Christians to think that the success of the Christian faith is dependent on multitudes and large crowds. We think that actually what we need is a whole lot more people. And it's true, because God wants to save the whole world. He wants a whole lot more people. But if God is speaking to us today, which he is through his word, he is still saying the way he's going to get a whole lot more people following him is by taking a few genuine followers that he can make, shape, change. And Jesus essentially was saying, if you come and follow me, I'm going to be your guide. I'm going to lead you. I'm going to teach you. I'm going to change the way you think about everything. I'm going to change the way you think about everything. I'm going to change your relationships. The way you relate to people is going to just completely change. I'm going to change your marriage. I'm going to change your relationships. I'm going to change how you look to God and trust God. I'm going to change your knowledge of God. Everything about your life is going to change if you follow me. But Jesus must have been, and still is, so attractively amazing that they said yes to being made. They didn't kind of know at the beginning everything that it meant. They just said yes to him. Now the disciples were not perfect. We look back, we read through the Gospels, and if you can just read through every Gospel, you see they definitely weren't perfect. A few of them had a few attitude problems. Some of them even had anger issues. Some of them still do today. I bet they found it quite difficult getting on together. Can you imagine? Jesus would have been okay to get on with, even though sometimes he sorted you out so bad, but you felt good afterwards. Because every time he sorts you out, you feel bad for a moment, but good later. But these other geezers Why do we have to do life with them? It would be better if it was just me, Jesus, me, Jesus, me, Jesus. Not that lot. It's so much easier, God, to do life with the people that I personally select. And I don't have anything to do with those I don't like. Because there's a lot of people that are very different to me in this room today. They're just not like me. And I just want them to be like me because we generally gravitate to people who are just like us. So they can't make us into anything other than just like us. And so Jesus lumped these men together and he says, I'm going to change you, I'm going to train you. The issue about these early followers of Jesus, and it is the issue today, is that they were willing to say yes. And when they said yes, it meant yes. They didn't do the yo-yo Christianity that is so prevalent in the church today. I'm in, I'm out, and I'm shaking it all about. I'm in, I'm out, I'm in, I'm out. And when you're in, it's because you need something. And when you're out, it's because you don't like it. And that is the culture, actually, of the world. Not of God's people. Not of the kingdom of heaven. And these guys said yes to Jesus. Now, I want you to remember that these guys were married. A lot of them were married. They probably had kids. They probably could have thought up all the excuses under the sun as to why they couldn't actually leave the wife and kids and follow him around Israel for a few days. They probably thought, how's this going to work for my personal life? And Jesus said, well, just come on and you'll find out. I'll provide for you and it'll be okay. Your marriage will be better. Your kids will be better off if you follow me in my way. Your relationships will be better if you come with me. Your financial life will be better if you come my way. Everything about your life will be better. Because Jesus says, I've come to give you life, and life in all its fullness, abundance. So he hasn't come to make you miserable, although you might look it occasionally. But the miserable soon turns to joy, because you only find true fulfillment following Jesus' way in life. These guys had to deny themselves to follow Jesus. You mean I've got to get out of bed early and pray? You mean when I'm tired, we've still got to minister to all these people? I've had a difficult day, Jesus. I just want to skip out of this particular healing meeting. But they were there. And they were being shaped. Something was happening to them that would actually affect every future generation that was to come. Because they were willing to be made, we are here today. And I'm so thankful that they were willing. Because I know, because of their willingness to follow Jesus in this way, it meant disciples could still be made in every generation. They had to leave the world. They had to leave others. Some of them had to leave their family, their father, their business. I mean, we're talking about a radical give up and follow. And you know, nobody's really following Jesus if they haven't given up anything. Because you can't follow without denying yourself. Or sometimes you can't follow without denying the desires of someone else close to you. Someone else might be nagging you to go the opposite way to the way that Jesus says to go. But it's your choice whether you will personally follow Jesus or not. These guys said yes. And they must have been overjoyed as they followed him as to what they saw and the amazing changes that had taken place in them. I'm nothing but grateful that the Lord called me to follow him. And in the following, I believe I've become free, happy, prosperous, kind, forgiving, merciful. I believe in following him, I am living for the greatest cause on this planet. There is nothing more valuable than knowing and following Jesus in the way he plans us to follow him. Everything about my life is better. And I would say that my life isn't futile. It's not a waste of time. Any other way is a waste of time. It's got no relevance to it at all, except God's way. Meaningless. Because when Jesus returns, all that hasn't been done in him will be wiped out. Only what is done in the name of Jesus and for his glory will remain. And that's why we live for eternity, not just for the here and now. And so Jesus' method to change the world actually is to downsize the group. We would think it is to increase the group, wouldn't we, naturally speaking? But Jesus says, no, I want to make the real thing out of you and make you a true disciple of me. After 3 intense years of being disciples of Jesus, at the end of it, Jesus, having died and rose again from the dead, he was about to go to heaven to be with his Father. And he said these words, and you can read them in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28. It's like Matthew's Gospel. Therefore, Jesus said to this bunch, there were only 11 at this point, because one had fallen by the way. He said, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. That means the whole world, which must include people who live here, doesn't it? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age. Go therefore and make. Go therefore and make. Well, with this commission or this mandate that Jesus has given to every generation that wants to believe and follow in his steps, he says that it is other people now that will make disciples. Because he didn't say, I'm going to make. He said to these guys, now you make. You know, if I go to B&Q or somewhere and buy a housing where you can buy something for your house, you buy a new kitchen table, it's going to be made. But basically, God is saying, discipleship mindset is, you're not going to actually go and just get a table made. You're going to go and make one from scratch. That's what Jesus was saying to the disciples. I've made you from scratch. Now it's your turn to go and make them from scratch. Can you see that? So it's not just about buying getting landed in your lap a disciple. It's something that you've got to have a plan for, know what you're making, know how to cut the wood, know what to put into that the joins, so that you can actually make it. Now, I know that this message is a message you probably all know. You could probably quote that scripture. Some of you maybe not, but most of you in this room can say, yeah, I know that Jesus says to go and make disciples. But I've been absolutely amazed. And I believe one of the secrets of success in the Christian life is this issue of discipleship. I've been amazed that actually God himself says you can't be who God's called you to be without other believers making you. I find it quite revolutionary, and I think it's a revolutionary mindset that God wants to reintroduce in his church here. That actually you will never achieve your destiny, what God has called you to do, without being willing to be made by another follower of Jesus Christ. With the recent Olympic Games, and I know there's some more coming, those who were willing to say it, most of them were, when they achieved their moment of glory as they got their gold or silver or bronze medals, most of them said, I could not have done it without my coach. Do you think that's amazing? Now the coach didn't do it, but without the coach they could never have achieved it. So the athlete had to apply themselves, but the coach was the key to winning. Now, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you have the potential because you are a new creation. Christ lives in you. But so far, you haven't reached your potential. So far, you've seen some, but not everything happen that you have the potential to see happen. And God says that one of the secrets to you becoming a victorious Christian and living a successful Christian life in his eyes is that you are willing to be made and influenced and shaped and led by other disciples. Wowzers. Isn't that massive? And I have to say that this is probably one of the most difficult messages to receive. Because you and I are a bit like, I don't mind as long as it's just God and me. And I don't mind if it's doesn't include this lot very much. I don't mind seeing them on a Sunday. But it's about all I can bear. Just kidding. But Jesus didn't just see his disciples on a Sunday. He did teach them. And the fivefold ministry and pastors are here to teach and preach and to train you in this particular way. But that's not the model, the only model, that will make you into the man or woman of God you're called to be. And I don't believe you're here this morning because for any other reason than you want to be a success for Jesus. I don't believe there's anybody in this room, apart from those who are currently sleeping, who, because there's no point coming if you're asleep. It's not a box ticking. It's training. Sunday morning is supposed to be partly training. And I don't believe you're here if you just, you know, want to get by and go to heaven. I believe you want God to use you. And I believe you want to fulfill your potential, which is Christ in you. Your potential is awesome, but it will only be realized through discipleship, but through being made. And the method hasn't changed. The method is still the same to make disciples. And we're going to talk about the making of you. What will be the making of you? Well, three ingredients. God, because without him you can't. You, because without you, you're not there. I once forgot to put flour in my cake. Can you believe that? I was in my cookery class at school, trying to make a cake, and not brilliant at cooking or baking. And because of the rush, and I probably was messing around, because I used to mess around in cookery classes, I couldn't see the point. And so I used to play and talk to all my friends, and I forgot to put the flour in. So there I am, laughing, giggling, putting it in the oven. When it came out, I've never seen anything like it. It looked like a dog's vomit. Honestly, it just literally looked like that. Well, I laughed. My cookery teacher didn't think it was at all funny. But I looked around on my, with all the ingredients, and you had to weigh everything out because you were taught to do it all properly. All there, weighed out, ready. I saw the flour and I went, ooh, missing ingredient. And you see, I think one of the main missing ingredients in church life is this. Discipleship. Others who are more spiritually mature than you, getting into relationship with you and saying, actually, this is how you do it. This is how you pray. This is how you hear God. This is how you win in marriage. If you've got a fence in your life, this is what to do. If the devil's getting at you, I've seen such a victory over the enemy. Just let me teach you how to do this. How do you heal the sick? Well, come with me and watch me. How do you witness? I'll show you. How can you be a witness at work? I'll show you. How do you deal with the flesh? I'll show you. How do you deal with sin and temptation? I'll show you. And I don't believe that discipleship is way down the rung. I believe it's God, you, and discipleship. The three ingredients that actually are the making of you. And God wants you to win. But without this, that won't be fulfilled. The purpose of God for your life won't be fulfilled. And of course, if you're not there, nobody's to make. And so we won't fulfill the plan of God for our generation, which is to make disciples who will go into the world and make disciples. And Jesus was absolutely clear on his strategy. And he said, basically, in every generation, I want pattern cutters, those who will cut a pattern that other people can cut their lives around. So that when they reach somebody with the gospel, of course, they have to be saved. They've got to hear the gospel. But Jesus never said, go make converts. He said, go make disciples, teaching them to obey everything I've taught you. And so I believe today we're just getting an insight as to the plan of God for us to reach the world. I believe this is the plan that will win multitudes to Jesus Christ. And we must, all of us, if we want to, because this is freedom of choice, nobody's going to make you. If you just want to do Sundays, just do Sundays. But you'll never be made. You'll never be what God called you to be. That's as simply put as I can, not without anything. I've got a heart for God for you, but it's got to be a whole lot more than Sundays. Hello? Anybody? Because we only need 12 to change the world. Do we have any? Do we have anybody? And if we get 100, wowzers. What could we do for the cause of Christ? If I accept the role of more mature believers in my life, even when it's slightly uncomfortable and they say, no, you're doing that wrong, lot of us really don't like being corrected. Something in us, it's called the flesh, rises and says, "Who do you think you are telling me what to do? What do you mean, discipline my kids? What do you mean? What right do you have to actually tell me that I'm spending my time wrong? The way I'm spending my money is leading me to debt and I'm not honoring God. What right do you have?" Well, none if you don't give people the right. You're still free to live your own way and actually not succeed as a Christian. Everybody has free choice. But I want to present this morning an attractive vision. And we're going to look at a place in the Old Testament that actually is like a picture of church life and of discipleship. 1 Samuel. We're going to finish with this, so hang fire because it's warm in here. Pastor Andrew and I have been seeking the Lord for months. And what God has done throughout this year has been so prophetic. He's talked to us about overcoming the enemy, about walking on water, the buffeting, coming into the overcoming life. He's restored the power of the Holy Spirit in our minds and hearts and dependence on the Holy Spirit. And we need all that God has already done amongst us. But there is this ingredient of discipleship that unless this comes into your life personally, in the context of the body you are called by God to be a member of. Every single believer is called by God to be a member of a particular local church. Without being a member joined in the body, you will not flourish. You can't. It's like my right hand wanders off or is cut off and then attached on a Sunday and then cut off. That's not body life. Think of the human body. And life flows continually in the body, from the body to the body. And this amazing picture here in 1 Samuel chapter 22, we just read 2 verses. David left Gath, I'll explain this in a minute, and escaped to the cave of Adullam. When his brothers and father's household heard about it, they went down to him there. And all those who were in distress, or in debt, or discontented gathered around him. And he became their commander. About 400 men were with him. Now let's just back up to who David is. David has been called by God to lead the nation, to be the king, to be the leadership that will turn the whole nation back to God. What a mandate. And it's obvious that God's with him because David has demonstrated that he's a winner in life. He has won some amazing personal victories at work. He knows how to win at work. If you want to talk to a guy who knows how to succeed, you just have to talk to him. He dealt with the bears and lions with God. God gave him a victory on how to succeed at work. He was an honorable man. So he knew how to deal honorably towards other leaders. He respected leadership. My goodness me, don't we need discipleship that honors leaders in our world today? Because the world we live in today is a rebellious world that attacks leadership. Whereas David could teach these guys how to honor leaders. And if you honor leaders, you will get blessed by God and them. Yeah. Honor releases life, scripture says. Yeah. He was a man of faith. Look at Goliath, he took him out pretty easy. He was a successful military leader in Saul's army. He led successful campaigns, missions. Whenever David went out, they won. Everybody else went out, they lost. For me, I'd pick being with a winner. I'd pick someone who's actually spiritually won some victories in life and can teach me how to win. Amen. And these 400, I mean, what a bunch. 400, imagine, next weekend, 400 people come to Christ, but they're in debt, they're discontent, and they're distressed. What a church. They are the material that God, through David, took and said, what I've made you into, I want you to actually make them. And this was the making of them. They came to this cave, hiding, afraid, on the run. They owed people money. They didn't know how to succeed financially. And unless you go God's way, you'll never succeed financially. Hello? You can't nip past the way of God financially and keep it all yourself to succeed. Giving is a part of success financially. Without question. The guys who were discontented, they didn't like the world. And I love it. Do you know what? I love it when you get a dislike for the world. Because it means you really are a Christian. You don't like this ungodly king, the ruler that is the prince. Satan rules the world. The whole world is under the sway of Satan. And it's leading the world away from God. And these guys wanted to be led to God and to get to know God and become winners. And actually, eventually, they were being trained for the cause of God for that nation. And these 400 men, losers, a big bedraggled crowd, became David's mighty men. They became an army that overtook the whole nation for God, for the kingdom. Don't you think that's a turnaround? Don't you think that if they'd stayed in isolation where they were, they couldn't have had the same turnaround? They had to be in the cave where God is. And let me tell you, without church, you never, ever will win in life. It's God's plan, not mine. Without being in a place where you're willing to be made into a disciple, relationally, with another more mature believer, saying yes to that, however it works out for you, you can never, ever, ever be used for victories personally. I want to tell you, it's going to benefit. The cost far outs the ways the benefits. No. The benefits, okay, if it was that way around, I wouldn't recommend it. But the benefits outweigh the cost. The sacrifice that you will have to make to be a real disciple of Jesus Christ. How you doing? Can you see that church, people come here because it's a safe place, and it should be. It's a place where you're going to be loved, where people won't judge you. But you can't stay the same. Because we want to make you winners for Jesus. But it's also a place where we are being shaped for the purpose of God, for multitudes to be saved and rescued from a life of sin and depravity, and actually hell. These guys woke up to what is true in every generation. I need to be discipled. That's what they woke up to. I need to be discipled. So I need to move where I am and go to the place where I can be made. Just like the early followers of Jesus, they had to leave to be with Jesus. Some of us have had to leave a lot to be here. And some of us will still have to leave things to be able to join in the process that God is calling each one of us into of discipleship, so that we can change our nation for Jesus. The vision is big, the method looks small, but it's phenomenal. Why do we as a church say faith groups or small groups, what we call faith groups, are part of God's plan for each and every one of us? Because that's the place you're made. One of the places. In the early church, they met in the temple, which was the big meeting like today. But they also met in homes, in smaller groups, where more mature believers were investing their time coaching spiritually so that they could make more disciples who will go out and coach others. One of the most exciting conversations I had last weekend was with two young people who are here this morning. And I said, look, we're going to change things. If you're willing to be shaped, you actually can be the key into many young people's lives. If you're willing to be made. Think about the people that can be changed if you are willing to come into the method that God has for your life. So that you can actually be used by God to shape others. It's massive. And there will be great joy as you go through this process with Jesus and with others, because you'll see yourself winning in areas you've never won in before. Attitudes, I tell you, attitudes will trip you up all your life unless you allow someone to help you to win. Having a stinking attitude, not being able to relate to people. Guys, we need help to be made. Not judgment or criticism, but help. How do I deal with this? Every time a person does that to me, this is how I react. Let me help you. Let me help you. I know you can win this. And I know you can become more and more like Jesus. Because that's what he's done in my life. You understand? Honoring others and learning the whole attitude, things that the Lord wants us to deal with personally, will make you a victorious Christian that then can make other Christians. But it is. I'm doing this for him, but I'm doing it for you. I really am. And I'm doing it for this army. This is this army. We're gonna see an army. God's promised us that. But that means we've got to have a making disciples mentality. Amen. And if this is going to be the making of us, let's do it. Yes. From the back to the front, let's do this. Because if the cause of Christ is greater than your own personal family life, but if you seek first the kingdom, his cause, his righteousness, all things will be added. Your family and life will completely be blessed. Each one of these guys who came discontented, in debt, distressed, had a choice to make. And each of us do. There isn't one of us that doesn't have choices. No matter how long you've been walking with the Lord or how little time. They had to say, right, I'm going to relocate. And maybe it wasn't a massive relocation. Some of them might have lived near this cave. But they had to relocate and say, right, I'm in. I'm all in. They joined David. And they said, you're going to lead us. We're in. But they had to say, I'm in, not we. Because only you can give Jesus your yes. And only I can give him mine. I can't say yes for you. So they had to make a choice. They had to either stay where they were or give themselves, like the early disciples, to Jesus, to his church, to his way of making a true disciple and become like him. They had to leave past ways behind and say, I'm going to come on a new path with you, Jesus, and become a genuine disciple, because that is what God once for me. You're all called, but will you say yes? Some of you are called to make, some of you are mature enough to make disciples. And as we go through this process, we will be talking to you and training you. Some of you who haven't been involved in kind of faith group leading, we are going to be speaking about how to make disciples of one or two people maybe initially. And we're going to see, it's not that we're changing faith groups, but we are going to see a way forward where real relationships are being built in this church of change and transformation. Amen. Amen. But only you can give God your yes. Only those early disciples could give him. It takes time. You have to be teachable. There will be many opportunities to be offended and say no. I can't tell you how many times I nearly said no because I got so miffed with those who were more mature than me telling me what to do. You know, they used to get me. And then I go and pray and the Lord says, I'm not bothered about what they said, I'm bothered about your heart. And so I'd be like, well, even you are having a go at me. Even if they were wrong, what about me? He'd say, you, I'm making you, I'm shaping you through that. Because you see, we're not perfect. I am the first to admit I'm not. I'm genuinely not perfect. But I've gone through years of making. I'm years in the making. Are we willing to be made? Change the Sunday morning mentality alone. Because it's got to. For us to turn around and make disciples and really become what Jesus wants, we've got to say yes to this process and allow him to work in it. Let's stand.
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log on to our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.